Peace of Christ be with you. I love that song. I like that idea of skipping like a calf because I think that that best describes how I dance, kind of big and awkward and kind of clumsy. Hey, we've got some visitors here today, and we want to welcome you to Hope College. Yes. It's delightful to have you here. If you're looking for people, we would like to be it. As we step into the semester, we're beginning with the Veritas Forum under the banner, True Communities, True Selves. What does it mean to be a people whose identity is shaped by God? What does it mean to have friends that conspire your deepest and best desires? What does it mean to be a Christian in this world that is surrounded by so much technology that promises intimacy but rarely delivers? We kicked off last night with our own beloved Dr. Mark Husbands, who gave a top shelf lecture and introduced us to some theological categories to help us along the way through this weekend. I want to invite each of you tonight here at Dimnit Chapel at 7 o'clock for Ken Meyer's lecture, In the Image of Our Devices, How Technology Shape Our Picture of Human Identity. Tomorrow night, we're gonna conclude the evening with Vito and the Welcome Wagon down at the Knickerbocker Theater at 8 o'clock. We've also, with some of the students, doing kind of the opening act. And the tickets are going fast, and they're a hot item, and you're going to want to take your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whoever you want to hang out with to this concert. It's going to be fantastic. In the morning tomorrow, we have the gift of having Felicia Song. And Felicia Song teaches communication and mass media at LSU down in Louisiana. And she is here today in chapel to give us a word from the Lord. And as she comes to speak, this is her first time at Hope College and her first time speaking in an audience like this. So would you kind of help break the ice by giving her a really warm Hope College welcome to Felicia Song? Small Felicia. Okay. Oh. These are my people. I'm so proud of them. I love them. I'm loving them. We love you. All right. No. All right. We got work to do. All right. I'm going to pray. Felicia's she's small in stature, but she's a giant. You need to know this. And I love her. Okay. Lord, we thank you for joy that comes in the morning. The joy that comes with knowing that our identity is rooted in you, Christ, and that we belong to you in body and soul, in life and in death. As Felicia speaks to us today, may you speak to us. And as you speak, may we have the faith to listen so that we would be launched into your open world where we are truly free in you. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all of hope said, amen. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me with you. I'm impressed with this. This is, and I'll step away because I know I'm small to see you guys down here. So, yes, I am hailing from Louisiana. Has anyone been to Louisiana before? Oh, that's impressive. All right. I hail from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, where currently the locals believe that we are going through a cold spell. 50s daytime, 20s at night. I know you guys would be out in Bermuda shorts playing Ultimate Frisbee while we're walking around with ski jackets and mufflers and everything. I'm originally from New Jersey. New Jersey, anyone? Woo! All right. I'm originally from New Jersey. Never thought I would live in the South, so I consider myself a northerner, but I am embarrassed to say that I have grown soft. I do enjoy the warm weather, and 40 degrees does feel kind of cold, so this, what you guys have now, is killing me, all right? It's like I was running out of the house this morning thinking, how many more layers do I have to put on, right? Okay, it's too much. Moving to Louisiana for my family has forced us to get used to a lot of new things, not only the weather, But we've also had to get used to things like Mardi Gras. They take Mardi Gras very seriously. I won't even begin to try to explain to you what Mardi Gras means to the people down there. We also have gotten used to these things called, events called crawfish boils. We've also had to get used to the religion of LSU football, okay? So we've had to get used to a lot of things. But one of the things I still haven't gotten used to is how friendly everyone is. Okay, I've heard that people here at Hope and in Holland are really friendly, and I've met lots of friendly people here. But you don't know what we're talking about when we talk about Louisiana friendly. Okay, the first time I moved to the South, I was walking on campus, and I remember just passing someone, just walking by, and the man said, "Hello, how are you?" All right, remember, I'm from New Jersey. I grew up right outside of New York City, all right? So if anyone knows what I'm talking about, right? When the man said, "Hey, hello, how are you?" What's my response? Do I have my purse? What do you want from me? Okay, it's very unnerving for a northerner to have someone look you in the eyes and say, "Hello, how are you?" Right, it's like, what do you want from me? So you can imagine that it gets even worse for me when I'm standing at the checkout line in the supermarket and I've got all my items, I'm in a rush, of course, I'm a northerner, I'm in a rush, let's get going, right? And the third person in front of me who's checking out decides to start to talk with the checkout person, right, the cashier. Not just, "Hey, how you doing?" but like full-on conversation. Like they're talking about their products, they're talking about how nice their hair is, what a cute sweater they have, right? And it's driving me crazy, thinking, you're talking, you don't even know each other, and you're having this full-on southern parlor visit in the supermarket, right? This doesn't make sense to me, okay? Well, so, you know, usually I'm getting anxious, I'm looking at my watch, and I'm looking around me thinking, does anyone else think this is ridiculous? But everyone around me is completely calm, right? They're smiling. They might get involved in the conversation, right? And I think, okay, right, I'm in the South. It's me. I'm the problem. So it's time for me to practice my yoga breathing, right? Calm down, calm down. Well, a little incident occurred 2 years ago that has changed, or at least not completely changed, unfortunately, but challenged my northerner's predisposition towards being unfriendly. My husband and I were up in Maryland with our children visiting some friends, Brian and Beth, and their son Douglas. My husband, Ed, went to Wegmans, which is a gourmet supermarket, went out with Brian to get lunches for us. And they were standing in line purchasing their lunches when Brian had a very brief but friendly exchange with the cashier, asking her how she was and hearing and kind of commenting on how hard it was to work over the holidays. It was Christmas time. And afterwards, my husband was struck by how personable Brian had been and just commented, "You know, that was really nice of you." And though I wasn't actually there, and everything that I know about this incident, I know only through my husband's retelling of the story, my heart is always chastened when I recall Brian's simple but very clear response. He said, "She is an image bearer of God. She is an image bearer of God." The reason why this simple response always cuts to the core of my heart is that Brian's posture towards this person is vastly different from my natural posture towards that person. All I see in that person is the means to purchasing my groceries. Brian saw in that person an image bearer of God. And his response resonates a point that C.S. Lewis makes in his essay, Weight of Glory, when he writes, "It's a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship." or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are in some degree helping each other to one or other of these destinations. It is in light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with the awe and circumspection proper to them that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another. And I love this. He says, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Next to the blessed sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest object presented to your senses. I don't know about you, but I find these to be very bracing exhortations. I don't know if you're a naturally friendly person or a cranky northerner like me, but what I find comforting and bracing about Lewis's exhortations is that being a follower of Jesus is not about being nice. Okay? Being a follower of Jesus is not about being nice. If it was, I would fail miserably. Instead, I think what Lewis brings out is the fact that being a follower of Jesus is about having had a whiff of reality, like smelling salts that awaken you out of a daze. It's about having that startling glimpse of that bracing reality about that person next to you, that they are the holiest object presented to your senses. So the convenience store clerk, the Kinko's employee, the worker who cleans your dormitory bathroom, to most of us in our daily lives, we may interact with them as what sociologists like to call non-persons. We don't see them. We don't really see them, okay? They are merely a means to an end. They help us get on with our lives, right? And I think we live in a time when seeing people in their full glory gets especially hard, when many times these people represent complex bureaucracies. I spent a day wrestling with the bureaucracy of air travel yesterday, and it's very difficult to see the glory of that airline representative when they won't let you in to that plane that is sitting right out there, and they're saying, sorry, you're late, right? It's very difficult, but that is the call, okay? I don't think that being a follower of Jesus means having a full-on Louisiana-style parlor visit with every single person we meet. But every day, I think the call is asking us to fight, to live, to not be conformed to the patterns of this world, right? But to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. That is, to have our minds recognize that the people around us, those apparently insignificant people that are checking our groceries, they are image bearers, right? And so we have that opportunity to carry light into the darkness of our everyday lives. And in so doing, what may seem very mundane is actually extraordinarily radical, extraordinarily countercultural. And so doing, I think our humanity and our own image bearer glory can also be restored and maybe even blaze brighter. Let's pray. Lord, please renew our minds and open our eyes to the image bearers around us. Let us smell the whiff of your reality that blazes around us every moment. Amen. Go in peace.